demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I got a lot of big stories. We've already touched on some of them with the Jimbo Fisher situation, Andy Avalos out of Boise State fired, Brady Hoke out of San Diego State is retiring. And, you're just seeing a lot, man. Like, Zach Arnett, Mississippi State fired Zach Arnett after just one season. He was the defensive coordinator for three seasons. He was promoted to head coach last December after, of course, Mike Leach. That was an interesting firing. Talk about not giving the guy time there. But I'm going to go with this as the big story of the day. Denver Nuggets coach Michael Malone has agreed on a contract extension that will make him one of the NBA's highest paid coaches, according to ESPN. Yeah. Susan and Cheryl love that. His new deal comes, of course, in the aftermath of leading the Nuggets to the 2023 NBA championship.
You know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
Yeah, you got Malone for a while, man. He's the fourth longest tenured coach in the league behind Greg Popovich, Eric Spoelstra, and Steve Kerr. Malone is now kind of a part of that group, right? I mean, don't you say you feel good about that? You know, another title would certainly go a long way. The Nuggets have had the second best winning percentage in the NBA since the 2018 and 19 season, trailing only the Milwaukee Bucks. That is outstanding. Michael Malone, the man. Congratulations to Malone. And it's a good move. Lock this guy up. Make sure he's your head coach for the foreseeable future.
They hesitate a bit after yesterday's game.
Is it dry? Is the ink dry yet? Can we wipe that out? He's got to get this bench figured out, Angel, because this is year two. And remember, year two of us really complaining about the bench. Last year was rough. And Bruce Brown, don't forget, Bruce Brown was kind of, he was fine, but it wasn't really until the playoffs where he took off. But this team right now certainly has some issues. Derby texting in. Nugs need an Alex Caruso if the Bulls fire sale. He'd fit nicely, I think. Somebody's got... The problem is, Angel, is you got all these young guys and you're expecting a lot out of them. I mean, Christian Brown, even though we loved his game in the playoffs, is still a young player. You're asking Julian Strother to come in and be an impact player. He had that 24-point game a few nights ago, but that's to be expected once in a while. I mean, not the 24-point game, but then to fade back, that's to be expected. That's what rookies do. We're seeing Connor Gillespie get a lot of minutes now. He had 6 points. Still a young guy. Peyton Watson, a young guy. Zeke Nagy, a young guy. Well, no, he's not really young anymore. But that's, you're putting a lot on a bunch of young guys on the bench. Did the Nuggets make a mistake not trying to go for more of a veteran approach? And I'll answer that question. That was supposed to be Reggie Jackson to hold down the fort off the bench. And now with Jamal Murray out for the rest of the month, he's been thrust into the starting lineup. So that your starters are fine. But what that's going to do is weaken your bench. Because Reggie's supposed to lead that, and being a point guard, if you have a solid point guard, he can really help elevate and make everybody better. But now you're looking at Gillespie, essentially, as your backup point guard. I mean, before the season started, did you even think Gillespie was going to get any minutes? I didn't even know if he was going to make this team, Angel. And now he's your backup point guard. So that's what losing a starter like Jamal typically does. You might not feel it as much when it comes to the starters, but a bench that was already sketchy is just a little bit more so now. That loss to Houston's not a bad team, man. Joker did about everything he could possibly do. 36 points for him, 21 boards, and 11 assists. He is 30 assists away from passing Magic Johnson. He could do it this year. He could. He's going to have to really get rolling here. And obviously the assist total really dependent upon his teammates. Michael Porter Jr., 25 points, 10 boards for him. Great game. Kept firing it. Aaron Gordon, 16 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. So, 8-2. Loss on the road. Don't worry. Regroup. They got in-season tournament play tomorrow night against James Harden's Clippers. How about them? 0-4 since he took over. He said, I'm not a system player. I am the system. Well, that system sucks. that's who Denver's going up against tomorrow night. And back to it. A little in-season tournament play or just game 11. Regular season game 11. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I like the contract extension for Michael Malone. He truly is one of the great coaches. When it's all said and done, I will, you know, I'll be curious to see where he stacks up. Spoelstra has what? The two titles?
Three.
Does he have three?
I don't know. Was he coaching when Wade won?
But without LeBron, wasn't that Pat?
I want to say that was Pat.
Yeah, so I think Spoelstra got the two. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's
but he
not
went to like four or five.
Yeah, he went to five, you're right, because just last year. Mm-hmm. Cuz they went to four in a row with LeBron and Wade and Bosch, but they won the two. And it's funny, he wasn't really given that credit like a normal coach should have because everybody said, "Well, it's LeBron, it's Wade and Bosch." And it was really after the fact that Spoelstra started to get more respect going his way because the fact that Miami didn't go to the toilet after that. I mean, they stayed pretty competitive and then obviously got into the championship last year. So Spoelstra is obviously one of the best in the league right now. Greg Popovich, certainly one of the best coaches of all time when it comes to the NBA. And Malone's got to be kind of up there. Steve Kerr, he's one of those guys that kind of gets a knock because, well, you had one of the greatest players ever on your team, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. And I actually, that take, man, being able to manage Draymond Green the way Kerr does, that's a big deal. And I don't recall Mark Jackson winning any titles with the Warriors before Steve Kerr got there.
He also had Kevin Durant for two of those.
Yeah, it's true. And when he was still actually like at his peak. So, yeah, I mean, he gets a little bit of a knock there, but I still think Steve Kerr's a really good coach. You know, it's like saying Phil Jackson's not a good coach because he had Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan.
He also coached the Knicks for a bit. That was not great.
Was it not great? No. Oh, yeah, that's right, of course. It wasn't that long ago. But, I mean, managing, like, the Bulls, coaching the Bulls, you had a lot, especially after watching the documentary, he had a lot of tough decisions to make. He had a lot of unique personalities on that Bulls team. And then getting Kobe and Shaq to get the best out of each other. I mean, so that coaching matters. And I tweeted about that last night watching the Raiders game. Look at these guys. Look at the Raiders look like they're having fun, Angel. It's amazing what a coach can do, the right coach can do. And the Raiders got the win. Now, again, I know.
Will he be the coach next year?
They need to hire him today.
Did we do
this
dance with Bisaccia last year?
Yes. What was his
Rich
name?
Rich Bisaccia.
Bisaccia
or whatever.
Sounds like a drink or something. Yes, they don't need to make the same mistake twice. And I'm not like wanting to give the Raiders any advice or anything.
Maybe just don't hire a coach.
But you got a guy that they believe in. They're fighting for. Who got the pick last night? The interception at the end. The defensive player. That's the guy Antonio Pierce sat down and said, I'm going to build around you, man. We're going to rally around you on the defensive side. He gets the game-closing pick, essentially. Davante Adams, oh my gosh, he can smile, dude. He looked happy. He's jumping. He didn't even have a touchdown catch. But he's jumping around, happy for this team. They found a way. Yeah, if I'm the Raiders, I'm making that higher. 15 minutes after the hour. I got Steve Ivey coming up next. He does his basketball blog and his podcast. You can find that stuff at ramnation.com. Steve's going to come up and talk to us about the big game tomorrow night between CSU and UNC. Also, take a look at Isaiah Stevens and just how great he truly is. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. With me now, the Swole Cracker, Steve Ivey, joining us, who has his Crackers, his blog, his podcast, everything. It's available at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Steve, my man, big one tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. UNC CSU, I think they should have this game every single year. But before we get there, let's talk about how great Isaiah Stevens is. I mean, he's just ridiculous. He breaks his own record. He's going to own every assist record in the history of the world. He's probably getting an assist somewhere right now, Steve, I imagine. What a special, tremendous basketball player for Colorado State.
Those of us who are in attendance on Friday night, we've seen so many great performances out of Zay, but he was out of this world on Friday night, as he set the single-game assist record at CSU of 14, but also became the leading assister in the history of the Mountain West Conference with his 14 assists as he passed Wyoming's Hunter Maldonado. That first half was a thing of amazement, left people just shaking their heads as he scored 12 points on perfect 5-for-5 shooting and dished out 12 assists. A 12-and-12 game is a great game for a point guard for 40 minutes. He did it in 16 minutes. That was just incredible, and he continued the onslaught in the second half, finishing with 22 points on 9-of-10 shooting and 14 assists to go with it. Yeah, it was ungodly.
Well, you talk about all those records, Steve. He's got the Mountain West record now. He's got CSU's record for career. He's got single game. He's all over that one. He's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I think, in that regard. Now, the only one left here of the big ones is the in season. Of course, the great Ryan Yoder, 204 assists, and he is also second with 187. Do you see Isaiah Stevens, barring an injury, just blow right past that number this year?
I think there's a real good chance. If you look at it, first two games, 10 assists and 14 assists. So averaging 12 a game, extrapolate that over 30 games. Is he going to stay at 12? No, but I wouldn't expect to see. I think we can expect to see about eight a game. And at 30 games plus, we're looking at, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 240, 250 assists this year, which would be a tremendous year. The other thing I wanted to mention, after two games, he's leading the nation in assists as well. So he's not just establishing himself as a local and Mountain West legend. He might lead the nation in assists this year, and that would be something else.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player. When it's all said and done, and I'm not talking about what they do after CSU, but who's going to be known as the greater Ram, David Roddy or Isaiah Stevens?
I think from a career perspective, you have to point to Stevens. Obviously, he didn't leave after 3 years, but after he finishes this year, he's going to end up the all-time leading scorer, all-time, and he'll blow that record apart. He'll end up probably about 300 points above the next closest. He's going to end up as blowing away the assist record as well. Those are two records that will be very, very difficult to break in the long run. Obviously, record, you know as well as I do, Brady, records are made to be broken, but I think his are going to last a while. And I think from a career perspective, you have to put him ahead of Roddy.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, he's just one of those career college guys that's been there for so long. Of course, he's going to break some records. He is a special player, too. So when you pair that together, you get something pretty, pretty fantastic there for Colorado State. Now, let's talk about the weapons. I mean, I was joking with him on Friday. I was like, looking at these guys, the Joel Scotts and obviously Cartier and Neek Clifford, transfer from CU, Josiah Strong, healthy back. when you look at all those guys, at least just on the starting group, I mean, he's got to be licking his chops because he has a lot of different guys that can help him get to that gigantic assist number.
Yeah, you know, the thing, you know, you bring up Cartier, who's back from last year. He's an improved player, but always been a good finisher at the rim, and we're seeing a little more out of him, not just in terms of improved finishing, but just overall the ability to pass the ball as well. But the additions of Scott and Clifford have been huge. I had a feeling Joel Scott would jump into the fray right away after watching him in practice. He fit right away into the CSU system, and he's another good finisher around the rim. But the one that really stands out to me is Neek Clifford. We knew he was going to be good. It's come a lot quicker than I thought it would. He's already operating at a high level. You're talking about 19 points and nine rebounds the other night against Wright State. Three dunks. Three for five from beyond the arc. You're talking about a complete player both on the offensive and defensive end. And then, as you mentioned, the Josiah Strongs and Jalen Lakes, who aren't even shooting well right now. There's probably a few assists that they've left out on the table for Isaiah, but you're talking about a top six that are all incredible in terms of their ability to put the ball in the basket.
Steve, why did do you have details? With Neek Clifford, like what was it that ultimately forced his hand to leave Colorado? And I know he had looked at CSU before as well. Is it a Dalen Kuntz kind of situation? Because I know Dalen, when he was playing for CU, there was just too many guys at his position, so he didn't really see any real minutes, so he transfers to the University of Northern Colorado and had a very successful career there. What was the thought process for Neek?
You know, I can't say that I know for a fact all of what I'm about to say. It's just more speculation, Brady, but Neek was starting at CU, basically started almost all the games last year and a bunch the year before. He started over 50 games in 2 years. But he was playing a position where he wasn't a strategic part of the team. He was playing defense. He was rebounding. But their offense was pretty much run through a couple of players. Their lead guard, K.J. Simpson, and a very good power forward in Da Silva. And the other guys were really peripheral players in terms of how they were used. And I think Neek was just looking for a better opportunity, and what better system to walk into than CSU, where they share the ball and walking in with a point guard who's a pass-first point guard, Isaiah Stevens. I will point out, another interesting one. If you take a look, they lost another player, CU, to the portal, who started a lot of games last year, Lawson Lovering, a center. He went to Utah. He played in Cheyenne, was recruited by CSU as well. He ended up going to Utah. He's thriving in Utah. So you've got two guys that were starters at CU last year that are thriving. Again, neither one was a strategic player. They're in different systems with different coaches, and they're being used maybe in a little better way. And I think it's to Neek's credit, he's jumped onto the opportunity. He's been tremendous.
Steve Ivey talking some CSU hoops with us. Big one tomorrow night. I love this just the local feel to it, Steve. It's going to be in Greeley. I know you're going to be there, right, Steve? You never miss games.
I bought tickets within an hour of tickets going on sale. There's no way I'm going to miss that game. I love that gym. It's obviously not the biggest, but I'll tell you what, it's fun to see a packed crowd in that gym. That is a crazy environment. Those students know how to bring it. You usually get a pretty good number of CSU fans there. And I love the fact that Northern Colorado, not just a good program, good solid Big Sky program, but they treat it like a big rivalry game, and they take it very seriously. So it's a very highly charged, very emotional game. And Lord knows, I've seen some really good games in that gym.
And I know, and that's what I love about you, Steve. Obviously, you're CSU first and foremost, but you are a basketball guy. You're a fan of basketball, so I know you pay attention to everything going on in the area, especially the UNC Bears. How many Rams fans are going to be in attendance tomorrow? Do you think they're going to fill that place up?
You know, I wish I had a good feel for that. Back in the day. Used to get really good crowds there. I go back as far as, you know, when Jason Smith was playing for CSU back in the, you know, the 2005, 2006 years, you got a ton of CSU fans because Jason grew up in Kersey. So you got a ton of people coming over from Kersey. It used to be, it felt like a third of the crowd was CSU. I'm not sure we're going to see that many tomorrow, but I know quite a good number of people that are going to be heading over. But I expect to be, it'll be a dominant UNC crowd, especially with their students who will support the heck out of this game.
Well, they, like you said, they want it. The Bears want it. Listening to St. Thomas on our post game show the other night with Mike Rice, I mean, he went off on it, not in a negative way at all, but he said, we really value the game. You know, obviously he wasn't here last year, but he said just doing his research and learning about it, he values, and all these guys do, all of their Colorado matchups. I mean, they take that personally. They want to be thought of as a premier Colorado basketball team. So they're certainly looking forward to this one tomorrow night.
Yeah, and credit to the staff of UNC for scheduling, for reaching out and scheduling all the local teams. If I'm not correct, they have not just CSU and CU, but they've got Air Force and DU on the schedule as well. And I think that's fantastic. I've always been a big fan of teams playing locally. I think it helps to establish interest locally and really highlight their, you know, it, in the grand scheme of things, every game has a winner and loser, but every program wins when they're playing each other in Colorado.
I agree 100%. I absolutely love it. Now, obviously last year, Steve, you know, the Rams were favored. The Bears go in and beat them. The year before that, was the, you know, David Roddy's on this team. That was their March Madness year. The Bears almost beat them. They had them on the ropes, and then David Roddy started doing his thing. CSU comes all the way back, wins that game. What are you looking at, you know, as far as this Colorado State team? I mean, you feel like they might have learned their lesson. They're not going to overlook this this UNC basketball team?
You know, Brady, I'll be honest with you. I don't think they overlooked the last two games. I just think UNC came in and happened to play very, very well. CSU had to come back. I believe they were down 10 with 10 minutes to go 2 years ago before they ended up running away with that game. That game will always go down as the Bodie Hume game where he was absolutely on fire. I forget, 30-something 30, points.
Yeah, 30 points. That was wild.
And it was just a tremendous game. We watched that one together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did.
That was fun. That was just a great game. And then last year, CSU. I don't think they were looking ahead. And boy, UNC came in and just they just smashed them. Not just shooting from the perimeter, but they had a layup drill the first half and absolutely killed CSU on the boards. That was a weakness of the team last year. And boy, did they take advantage of it. So I wouldn't say in either one of those games that CSU took them lightly. I think they took it very, very seriously. I just happen to think that UNC comes ready to play, and they played well. They have good players. So I think that's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
It's certainly a different team with this Bears team than we've seen in the past. You know, no Dalen Kuntz. Matt Johnson is gone. Dalton Connect is like one of the best basketball players in the country right now. It's phenomenal. I still think that's a good selling point for the Bears. But this is a group, kind of a, to steal Jay Norvell's term, a gritty group. I don't know that there's one star on this team. Maybe it's a guy like St. Thomas or a guy like Reeves is really good too. But it does feel like this is more of a tight-knit group that rather than they have one or two superstar scorers. So certainly a different team going up against Colorado State. But then again, this Rams team is quite a bit different from last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what's going to make it fun. Both, I think CSU comes in with maybe a little stronger core left over from last year with Stevens, Cartier, Lake, and Strong, who was in the program last year. UNC certainly lost a lot of their key players, and there's a lot of new players on the roster. But that's kind of what makes it fun. You know, I'll tell you this. I guarantee you it's very hard for CSU to scout the Bears. There were some issues this past week scouting Louisiana Tech. Absolutely no video on virtually all of their players. They were a very new team. Wright State, they had a little better handle of because Brian Cooley, the assistant coach for CSU, had come from Wright State and very much knew their systems, and he knew their players as well. So that was a little easier task. And I imagine that just with UNC, they're relying on, you know, past history of the kind of stuff that Smiley runs. But when you got new players running it, you're going to see different looks and you've got different challenges. So I think there's the unknown sometimes can work in favor of a team. And I think that's going to make for an exciting matchup tomorrow.
Well, and we've seen it now, two games. I don't know how much of a sample size that really is, but for CSU, 2-0, but their starts have been a little rough. And what you're saying, you know, with Louisiana Tech not getting the film, that might be some of the cause for that. Also, just this group, who I think we all agree are going to be really good this year, but maybe still taking some time to gel. They certainly gelled in the second half of that Wright State game, 60 second half points for the Rams.
Yeah, the other encouraging thing, I mean, we started seeing against Louisiana Tech in the second half with the top six, but the other encouraging thing against Wright State on Friday was the contributions of some of the guys off the bench. We saw Joe Palmer come off the bench and score 10. He's an energy guy, and if he scores 10 off the bench, that'll be huge. But even freshman Kyan Evans came in and spelled Stevens at the point guard and played very, very well. And then the debut of freshman big Rashawn Mbemba, who played, I think, about 10 minutes. And he did very well for a debut. You could see he was a little rough and a little rugged, playing a very tough position at the five for CSU. It's a very, very difficult position to play for a freshman. But I'll tell you what, that was the fun thing in watching them gel. And I'm sure we're going to start seeing the same, similar kinds of things out of UNC, where you start seeing not just the starters starting to gel, but you see the bench players figuring out their roles and getting more comfortable in that. And so that's something to look forward to tomorrow night, just to see how the top eight in the rotation play as well.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be out there too, Steve. So I'll say hi to you, my friend. Is Nico Medved messing with us, getting a guy like Mbemba? My gosh, I'm going to struggle with that one. When you're just watching him, like wide shot, he kind of looks familiar. He looks like a guy that used to wear number 21 for CSU.
It's amazing how the physical resemblance between him and David Roddy is incredible. Both about 250 pounds. Mbemba is a little taller, but I mean, they really similar. You know, it goes down almost to the same hair when David first started playing here. But you know, a little different kind of game. I think Rashawn is maybe a little more of a natural rebounder, inside player. David could play across a little wider range of the floor. Not that Rashawn can't shoot from the outside, but David was probably more of a traditional 3-4 kind of player, and I think Mbemba's more of a 4-5.
Last one for you here. Got a text coming in from Smitty on Tavy Jackson's future. What do you know about that situation?
Oh, his future is bright. There is no doubt he's a player. The problem is he's had nothing but injury issues starting in the summer. First a knee, and he had surgery on his knee in the summertime. Then a bout, I believe, with COVID, and the latest is a hip. He just can't seem to get healthy. I think there's a possibility that, it wouldn't surprise me if he redshirted this year. He would have been ahead of Kyan Evans. Kyan has been able to practice. Kyan's been able to play, get integrated with the team. And we'll see what happens with Tavy. We'd love to have him back. It'd be great to see him on the floor. Very much a part of the future plans of CSU right now, but he's got to get healthy.
Steve, my man, great work from you as always. What do you got for us, and where can we check out the latest written word and your podcast?
I put a podcast out this morning. Basically did a summary of the Wright State game and talked a little bit about where the Mountain West is at after the first week. Did a little preview of the UNC game. But the other thing I did that was kind of fun, I did a little segment on the recruiting class of 2024. I had talked about them last week, Brady, but this segment was based on a question I got from somebody who listens to the podcast, who wanted to know, can you give them a frame of reference and maybe some player comps? And so I went out and I talked to a few different people. My sources I don't like to reveal. I have birdies that fly around and stuff, but I got some really interesting player comps for these freshmen that'll be coming in next year, and it was really fun kind of putting it together. I hope people will take a listen to that, and then after the game on Tuesday, I'll write up my game summary on and have it out on Wednesday morning for UNC. And then there's a game on Friday as well that I doubt if I do, I'll do a preview for it against Missouri-Kansas City, but we'll have the game summary on Saturday. So I'll be pretty active this week with two local games.
I love it, man. Always appreciate it. Nobody better when it comes to talking in-depth Colorado State basketball. Steve Ivey, appreciate you, my friend.
Brady, thanks. And hey, I'll see you tomorrow night. Let's have some fun tomorrow night.
That sounds good. I hope it's, like I said, man, I just hope both teams have fun. I can't root. So, you know, hope they both have fun.
I think you can root. You can root for whoever you want and have fun. And like I said, there's winners and losers. But the bottom line is those of us who are college basketball fans are all winners tomorrow night.
No doubt about it. Steve, my man, we'll see you tomorrow night, my friend.
You bet. Thanks, Brady.
All right. When we come back, Angel, I'm going to tell Wyoming fans why you are spoiled and crazy and silly. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
And this Wyoming conversation is interesting to me. Wyoming loses on Friday night to UNLV, and that, I think, is it mathematically done? It's done. They're not going to go to compete in the Mountain West Championship game. They are a bowl team. Is that just who Craig Bohl is? You know, started in 2014 with the Cowboys. They were bad his first year or two, I think. And then after that, they were always going to a bowl game. I mean, say for 2020, he's been every single year. You know, 2016, 8-6, 6-2 in the conference, 8-5, 5-3, 6-6, 8-5. His record with the Cowboys is 58-60. So, I mean, he is kind of the definition of a 500 coach. Cowboys fans are freaking out a little bit today. They want Craig Bohl gone. Some Cowboys fans want Craig Bohl gone. And I'm here to tell you, man, the grass isn't always greener. Who's going to come into Wyoming and do what Craig Bohl does?
I mean, if you can find a coach whose last name is Championship, then maybe, but Craig Bohl is the bowl guy.
He's the bowl guy. I'm telling you, I learned
this
from experience.
That would kill for a bowl guy.
Yes, CSU's one of them. I long for the Mike Bobo days. Perhaps we didn't know what we had when Mike Bobo was the head coach.
Bobo.
See?
You're almost there.
It kind of worked. He had two bad years after his bowl appearances. You know, he was 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, and then health, stress, everything. I just think it was too much to overcome. But perhaps the Rams acted too hastily when they moved on from Bobo. I don't know. I mean, at the time, I was kind of ready, I guess, but I was a big Mike Bobo fan. But I'm just telling you, Wyoming fans, who are you going to get? And I'm not knocking Wyoming. But you tell me, Angel. I can't get you to sneak out of here and go to where are we going to go? Where is it? Sheridan?
Sheridan,
we're going to go there? I can't get you to go. Is Wyoming like an attractive spot for a head coach to come in that's like up here, really good, and wants to be able to build, even though, again, it's you got guys transferring out. It's not like the greatest place you think of when you're like, yeah, I want to go to Wyoming, man, and play football. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's not the big city. It's not a lot of that stuff. It's different in this day and age of transfer portal and all that stuff. Who are you gonna get to come over to Wyoming and do what Craig Bohl has done, or better?
I mean, anything west of Texas, it's very rare to find a college football environment that is, you know, supportive and excited about their program. Outside of Eugene and Seattle and Los Angeles, you don't see that, you know, not to the where you see it in Clemson and Florida, all across the Southeast. There's 5-6 different schools in Texas that all have their own identity. You just don't see it the same out here. I don't know if that's just because the parity of college football over the years, the Mountain West and that middle group, maybe just they just get left behind, or I don't know. You know, you to have a successful college football program, you have to have the culture behind it. And I think Wyoming has a great they do good for what they have.
Yes.
They have a great
right.
stadium, a great facility, successful tenured. You have a pro football quarterback that's in the elite conversation all the time.
And you have linebackers constantly going to the NFL.
Right.
Constantly.
You have the reputation of being a hard-nosed, physical type of football team. Do you have to change that identity to maybe get some more, to get a spark? Maybe.
Yeah, you might have to look at what you're doing at the quarterback position rather than, you know, trying to just find another Josh Allen, because Peasley's got some similarities there. He's not going to flat out impress you with his numbers every single game. He's a gritty kind of guy. But maybe Wyoming needs to edit how they do things a bit there. And I think Craig Bohl has proven that he's more willing to change a little bit. They lose a stud running back last year who leaves, enters the transfer portal. And they get this Harrison Whaley, who is just an absolute stud. So my question is to Cowboys fans is, who is going to come in and do what Craig Bohl is doing? I think the Cowboys overachieved and then underachieved this year. It's very safe to say that, yes, there is a pattern with the Cowboys. But the devil you know, man, I mean, that's where I am with this team. If that was a hotbed program where everybody wants to go to Wyoming and Laramie and play there and live there, then sure, you might be able to get a head coach that can use that to his advantage. But right now, the reason for anybody to go to the Cowboys is to say, hey, if I'm a stud linebacker, a defensive guy, Craig Bohl might make me good enough where I can go to the NFL. And a run game, a tough run game, hard-nosed run game. But you guys that are just like freaking out because, yeah, here he is again. They're 6-4. They probably win. Not 6-4. What's their record? They're 6-something. Yeah, 6-4. They're 6-4. They finished their season against Nevada or Hawaii and Nevada. They should win those games, and that's going to be an 8-4 season. I mean,
complacency eventually wears on everybody.
I get it,
and I think a lot of Mountain West programs could probably look at themselves and say, "Can we ever get to that point where we're talked about as maybe a potential eventual Group of Five conference?" I don't know. The rest of the conference has to lift itself up like that, but it's hard when you're trying to be the lead dog and the pack is falling behind.
Right, and here's my thing with Wyoming again. Every year you got a shot. You at least have a shot. If you fire Craig Bohl and you try somebody else, you don't know what that's going to look like. Again, we're talking about Brian Harsin today. Like, could he go back to Boise? Is that a name that loves the Mountain West that would come back? Well, look what happened when he got success. He went to Auburn. So there are guys that make sense in certain spots, but Mountain West schools are stepping stone schools, and if you don't believe that, you're wrong, at least for right now. Jim McElwain, step away. Stepping stone. Harsin, same thing, stepping stone. Craig Bohl said today, I was reading from one of the Wyoming reporters, when I retire, I'm staying here. I'm living here. You don't get a lot of those kind of guys. So my thing to Cowboys fans is I get it. I feel you. But I've been there, man. What you guys do every single year is what the Rams would kill for. 12:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKX.
Speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm just trying to provide some reason to you guys. That's all I'm doing, Cowboys fans. Take it from me. going to a bowl game every single year with at least the conversation around you that you could compete for a Mountain West championship game is huge in this day and age. This is a different conference than we're talking about. I mean, we're not talking about these epic schools that are always, like, basically, if we're not in the playoff conversation, we're moving on.
Would you rather be where you're at now or be a Vanderbilt in the SEC? That maybe they get 3-4 wins. Maybe they get 6 one lucky year, and then they hope that head coach is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're in the SEC. It's the best conference. No.
I'd rather be competitive in a conference like the Mountain West.
Trophy case will look a lot nicer.
I know you get more money and all that stuff and things are different, but, you know, as a fan base, you know, you're the laughing stock of the SEC. Here, Wyoming, you're a good Mountain West team. You're not great. You're good.
There's
under Craig Bohl. Yeah. And they should win their final two games, and you would have 8 wins. So I understand the frustration because you want more. You think you deserve more. You think you can get more. But who's coming to Wyoming? I'm just asking the question. Who's coming to Wyoming that's more established than Craig Bohl right now that's going to want to coach in Laramie, Wyoming? Who? And I'm not knocking. I'm an Eastern Colorado dude, man. I love it. I get it. But I'm a small kind of farm world, all that stuff. And I'm not saying just Wyoming's farmers, but, you know, come on. Cowboys, right? They're cowboys and farmers. Going to get hate mail. Send it to Angel. He'll read it. I love Wyoming. I've got family in Wyoming. My wife has family in Wyoming. But I'm asking, who's a sexy coach that wants to, that's looking for his next big stint and says, you know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go to Laramie, Wyoming to coach. In this day and age of the transfer portal and all this, I'm going to go there. Again, I'm trying to, same can be said for Fort Collins. You're not going to get guys like, you know, Urban Meyer. You're not. You're going to get guys like Jay Norvell, which can be very good. It can. Just know where you are. Craig Bohl's just fine. And maybe that's what is pissing you off. Final hour coming up next.